Please, the book of 1 Kings, chapter number 21. I want to just read a few verses here and give you a simple thought that's on our heart. Don't feel like we'll keep you very long tonight. And to be honest, I'm very weary in body, but that's all right. The Lord knows all about that. And He can help us tonight. But I was coming home today and we met one final time as part of the arrangements with the family today, and was by myself coming home, and the Lord began to speak to my heart about these verses and just laid a simple thought on my heart. And I don't have anything really what many would say prepared. I just have this thought on my heart and some thoughts that the Lord allowed me to think on today, this evening, in preparation before the service tonight. And so I want to try my best, by His help, if you'll pray for us, to give you what's on our heart tonight. 1 Kings chapter 21, when you found your place, if you're physically able, willing to do so, we'll stand together out of reverence and honor to the reading of the Word of God. Now we understand, we're pretty familiar with the previous chapters in this book about Elijah and all the things that go on between him and this wicked king by the name of Ahab. Of course, the contest there on Mount Carmel and all the things that transpire there, the slaying of the prophets of Baal and the prophets of the grove, and then the abundance of rain that comes. And so we're still in this scripture, we're not dealing, it's not recorded about Elijah, but it is still dealing with this same wicked king by the name of Ahab. And what's taking place here in chapter 20, Ahab has been delivered, Israel's been delivered by the help of God out of the hand of this king of Syria by the name of Ben-Hadad. And it was the will of God for Ben-Hadad to be slain. But Ahab, being a wicked king and not mindful of the will of God, he makes a covenant with this wicked king and then sends him his way. And in verse 42, the Bible says of chapter 20, we'll begin reading there maybe and give some context. 1 Kings chapter 20 and verse 42, "And he," that is the prophet of the Lord, "said unto him," which is Ahab, "thus saith the Lord, cause us, let go out of thy hand a man whom I have appointed to utter destruction. Therefore thy life shall go for his life, and thy people for his people. And the king of Israel went to his house heavy and displeased, and came to Samaria." Then chapter 21 and verse 1. "And it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard, which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, Give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house. And I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it. Or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. And Naboth said to Ahab, The Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. And Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he had said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid him down upon his bed, turned away his face, and would eat no bread." Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Now, we're dealing with a man here, as far as Ahab goes, that's used to getting his way. We read about his prophets, or the prophets of the grove, which the Bible said sat at his wife's table to eat. And they were paid ministers to tell them always what they wanted to hear. And so now he has twice in a row heard something he didn't want to hear and has not gotten his way. Both times, both in verse 42 or verse 43, and then again in verse number 4 of chapter 21, the Bible said that the king of Israel came home heavy and displeased because that he didn't get his way. Now, he didn't get his way in chapter 20 because he desired to have that league with this king of Syria, thought it would be a profit to him. Somewhere down the line, he disregarded the word and the will of God and acted out of his own counsel, his own will, and he suffered greatly for it. The Lord gave him a prophecy through the prophet, the man of God, that he would die in the stead of Ben-Hadad, and we read later on that he does. And so he didn't get his way, and he pouted and got angry and upset, and he came home heavy and displeased. And while he's there, I think, and I just began to meditate on it today as the Lord began to deal with my heart for the service tonight, I think that what Ahab's doing, he's probably went out in the courtyard or up on the balcony and began to look around to see what he could buy or get to soothe his flesh and his conscience and make himself feel better about all the things that had just happened. Because the Bible links what has happened in chapter 20 to what we just read in chapter 21, because the Bible said it came to pass after these things. So after Ahab's not got his way, after Ahab's got the message from the man of God, after Ahab's heavy and displeased, and he goes home to pout, for lack of a better word, and try to find something to make himself feel better. And so he's out on the balcony of the palace, and he's looking across, and he spies up this vineyard that the Bible said is nigh, or it's hard against the palace, and he wants it to make himself a garden of herbs. And so he goes to Naboth, who is a man of his kingdom, and he says, I want to buy this vineyard. He said, I'll give you a better one, or if it seemed good to you, I'll give you the price that you ask. Whatever the asking price is, I want this vineyard. And Ahab's used to everybody saying, okay. Ahab's used to everybody cowing down and bowing down and doing exactly what he wants done. Ahab's used to getting his way. But Naboth says here in verse number 3, the Bible said, and Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. So Ahab says, I want to buy the vineyard. Name your price. Is really what Ahab said. He said, I'll give you whatever you want. I'll give you a better vineyard or whatever your asking price in money. Just name your price. And Naboth's response in our terminology is, it's not for sale. And so the Lord got to deal with my heart coming down the road today on some things that aren't for sale. There's a lot of things in our day, and I know that it's probably going to be a little quiet tonight. I knew that before I ever walked through the door, because these are not popular things that we're preaching tonight. These are things that are really getting down to where we are living in our day. There are some things that should not be for sale that many people are not only selling out, but they're doing it at such a cheap price in our day. I want to say our marriages ought not be for sale. There's a whole lot of people that are selling out their marriage for a very cheap price. For some whim, for some fling, for some fatal attraction, for some compromise, for some issue that we can't get settled on and we can't see eye to eye, for something we want to gum up about the past that we can't let go, for something we can't bear the hatchet and settle, and instead of getting right with God and asking God to help us, the answer in our day is just to do away with it, set it out. But the marriage between a man and a woman, as far as I can tell in the Word of God, my Bible said, till death do we part. That's right. We're living in a day, and I know it's going to be quiet, but that's okay. I'm going to preach because it's on my heart. We're living in a day where marriage is cheap. I know that's right. We're living in a day in my generation where marriage is treated like the used car business. And you just go get one and have it for a little while. And when you don't like it, it begins to do things that don't please you. You can just trade it in for another one. I know that I'm preaching right. That is the days in which we live in. And it's because that men of God have not stood in pulpits across our land and preached the holiness and the high price and the high regard that God puts on marriage. We got young people growing up in our churches that have no idea about the seriousness of what it means to become a husband and a wife. They don't realize the fact that when they come before the altar or stand under a tree, it doesn't make any difference whether or not they're in the church house. The vows that they still make are not only between them, and it's not only before the preacher, but it's before God Almighty. And marriages are not and should not be for sale in these days in which we live. But we have an enemy. We have an adversary, the devil. And he's a walking about, Peter said, as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And he'd just as soon to devour your home and your marriage as anything. And if we don't guard it, if we don't recognize, what I'm trying to say tonight is to recognize how precious that it is. Your marriage before God is a precious thing, and it ought not be for sale in these days. I want to say our children are not for sale. Or they shouldn't be. And I'm afraid in these days in which we live, and I'm just going to preach what's on my heart. If you give me just a few minutes, if you'll bear with me, I'll be done. But this is why I've got to preach tonight. We live in a day where children, as precious as they are, do you understand that God gave no mother or father a greater gift than the children, what He gives unto us? And the responsibility is ours in the eyes of God to raise them in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. The Bible said that children are an heritage of the Lord. It's a gift from Him. It's a precious commodity. But so many in our day are selling out their children. They'll sell them out for the ball team. I know that's right. They'll sell them out for popularity. They'll sell them out so that, listen, I want you to hear me well. And I don't know, I thought, Lord, I don't want to preach this tonight, you know, after everything yesterday, and I love you, and that's why I'm preaching the way I'm preaching tonight. But I'm going to tell you something. When you become husband and wife, and it starts before you have children, but especially after you have children, you have to quit being one of the boys and quit being one of the girls and carousing around. And there are more important things in this life. When God gives a man and a woman children, He gives them the responsibility to raise them right in the eyes of God. But we've got a lot a whole lot, I'm afraid, in this day, that they'll sell out their children so they can still go and be one of the boys. Or so they can still go and be one of the girls. And the reason they do that is they don't understand the high value that God has placed on our children. We'll stand before God one day. I will as a husband, and you will as a parent and a father, before God and give an account of how we raise our children.
Amen, sir.
And they ought not be for sale. The Bible said when a man and a woman, the man leaves father and mother and takes his wife, and they two become one flesh. And so I ain't figured out yet how you can separate one. And then when God blesses that union, and that is, by the way, and I know it's unpopular preaching in our day, but I'm going to tell you, Paul talked about the last days that they would forbid to marry and there'd be no children that'd be without natural affection. And there's more to that than just the sodomy movement that's in our day. But there's a natural affection for mothers and daddies for their children, and we're losing it in these last days. I'm telling you, the greatest blessing that God can ever give a marriage is children to come forth from that. And they ought not be for sale. But many people have sold them out. Oh, they wouldn't say that. Those words are too harsh for them to come out and say. But by their actions, by their attitudes, by the things they do, by the way they raise their children, by the things they... And I know it's probably going to get rough here just for a minute, but it's okay. It's on my heart. By the way they raise their children, the things they allow their children to be exposed to, it tells me they don't put a high price on the precious commodity that God's given to them. There are things out there your children don't need to see. There are things out there your children don't need to hear. There are things out there your children don't need to partake of, neither do you. But more than that, a little child, they have no business. And you say, preacher, you're meddling tonight. I may be, but it's okay. The Lord said I could. Our children, at the ages that they are, they ain't a child in this building, has any business having free access to a cell phone that'll access the internet, or to go in their bedroom, shut the door, and they really don't need access to it, period, but much less unsupervised access, or the internet, or these games, or these chat rooms, or Facebook, or social media, or anything else. I know it may have some good, but I'm telling you, there's evil out there, and it's awaiting for our children. And they ought not to be for sale. We in this day as parents, I go about this world, and I understand we can't expect the world to do any better. Sinners are not going to do it. A dead man can't do better. But I'm telling you, these people that profess to be Christians, these mamas and daddies, and I know that I'm preaching different tonight, but it's on my heart. But they profess to be Christians, and then they let their little girls dress in ways that are immodest, and not just immodest, but immoral, and little boys the same. And then they wonder why the things come down the road that come after all of that. I'm telling you, our children ought not be for sale. They're too precious. They're too precious. What price tag will you put on your child? Can you name a price? Ahab went to Naboth and he said, "Name your price. I'll give you whatever you want." But Naboth said, "It's not for sale." I'm going to tell you, in these days, the devil's going to come and he's going to say, maybe not in so much words, but the allurement's going to come for you to name your price. He'll give you whatever you want if you'll just give him what he wants. And we in this day, we don't like to talk about it, and preachers don't like to admit it, but the Bible's still the Bible. And it does say there is pleasure in sin, but it's only for a season. And when the season runs out and the harvest comes, and then we have to reap the consequences of our reward, we'd have wished we'd have never sown of the seed that was sown to the flesh. My Bible said, be not deceived, God's not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You sow to your flesh, you shall of the flesh reap corruption. If you sow the Spirit, you shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. You can't sow a bad seed and get a good crop out of it. And so we better beware about the things we advertise for sale in this day. I want to say our church ought not be for sale. There's a whole lot, and I'm not their judge, between them and God. But there's a whole lot in our day that they've sold out. They've sold out for numbers. They've sold out for money in the bank. They've sold out for some game or gimmick or plan or program. They've sold out to be popular in the community. I never have understood, and I'm not being mean tonight. I'm just preaching right and preaching reality. I never have understood where the people of God and churches have got the idea that we're to be popular in the community. God's people never have been popular. There's a problem. If God's people can be popular with the world, they've always been peculiar. We weren't called to be popular, but we were called to be separate from the world, holy as He is holy, and to walk righteously, soberly, and godly in this present world, and that will not gain us fortune or fame or popularity, but it will gain us favor in the eyes of God. And our church ought not be for sale. I thank God for what He's given us around this place. I thank God for the increase that He's sent in. And I'm not preaching out of my flesh tonight, and I'm not preaching mean-spirited or angry. I'm preaching from my heart because I see it, what God's doing, and I see these young people that are coming in and growing up and babies being born and new families starting and new marriages that have just begun or begun not too long ago. And I'm seeing all these things, and I'm looking around at the world in which we live, and I'm going to tell you, if you want to go by statistics, the statistics are against marriages in this day, and the statistics are against homes and children in this day. But I'm telling you, I serve a God that goes above statistics, and He's able to do what nobody else can do. But we're going to have to stand for what's right and not sell out in this day. And I thought, as we preach this morning, and I'm done, far as I know, our testimony ought not be for sale. Some people have swapped theirs for a few days of fun. Some have swapped theirs for a far country experience. I'm going to tell you something. I want you to hear me well, and I'm done. Thank God there's repentance. Thank God for restoration. Thank God for being able to come home as the prodigal did. But I'm going to tell you something. We stop too short on that story sometimes. Thank God for a father that loved him. Thank God for a fatted calf. Thank God for a robe and a ring and shoes on his feet. But don't you know from then on, and I understand that once it's forgiven, it's forgiven. But I'm talking about our effectiveness in the community. Don't you know that everybody that walked by from then on, in their mind, all they could see is, this is the boy that left home. This is the boy that shamed his family. This is the boy that spent all his inheritance. This is the boy that's working for his elder brother. This is the boy that has nothing but the pity of the father. Thank God for the father. But I'm telling you, don't sell out your testimony for a far country experience. It never works out. The devil's an expert at painting a picture, a beautiful picture, but it never is quite like he paints it out to be. The grass always seems greener on the other side, but it never is once you get there. And so we ought not to sell out. There are some things that ought not be for sale. Naboth, we had that visit from Ahab, and Ahab said, I want your vineyard. Naboth said, God forbid it me to sell the inheritance of my fathers unto you. And I'm telling you, in this day, we have a great inheritance. A spiritual inheritance that's been handed down. And I'm not talking about that they earned it or worked for it. But here we are in the mountains of Western North Carolina in the buckle of the Bible Belt. We've had some of the greatest preaching that's ever come through this land. We've had some of the greatest meetings. The power of God has been real in our area, and we've been given a good inheritance of spiritual things. It should not be for sale in this day. We can't sell it out for big meetings. We can't sell it out for big tents being, and there's nothing wrong with tents if it's the will of God. But you understand what I'm saying tonight. We can't sell it out for a high price. We can't sell it out for a big name evangelist. We can't sell it out for this or sell it out for that. It is beyond value. And it should not be for sale. There are some things that God has been so good and gracious to give to us that should not be for sale. Father, I thank you, Lord, tonight for this privilege and this opportunity to have been in your house tonight with your people. I know, Lord, that it may seem not much on my part. I've just tried my best to follow your leadership and obey you in the service tonight and in the message. Lord, I pray you deal with hearts. Help us all, Lord, to realize that there are some precious things that we've been given by you that are not for sale. Help us, Lord, to guard them and keep them dear and near unto us. Lord, it may cause persecution, and it may cause suffering and turmoil. In Naboth's case, it cost him his life because he wouldn't sell out. But Lord, I pray in these last days, in the darkness that's looming over the church, that you would help us, Lord, to stand for truth and right and be resolved that there are just some things, Lord, that are